I'm going to read this morning from Ruth chapter 2 and beginning at verse 1. Naomi had a relative named Boaz, a rich and influential man who belonged to the family of her husband Elimelech. One day Ruth said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields to gather the corn that the harvest workers leave. I am sure to find someone who will let me work with him." Naomi answered, "Go ahead, my daughter." So Ruth went out to the fields and walked behind the workers, picking up the corn which they left. It so happened that she was in a field that belonged to Boaz. Sometime later, Boaz himself arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the workers. "The Lord be with you," he said. "The Lord bless you," they answered. Boaz asked the man in charge, "Who is that young woman?" The man answered, "She is the foreign girl who came back from Moab with Naomi. She asked me to let her follow the workers and pick up the corn. She has been working since early morning and has just now stopped to rest for a while under the shelter." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Let me give you some advice. Don't pick up corn anywhere except in this field. Work with the women here. Watch them to see where they are reaping and stay with them. I have ordered my men not to molest you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and drink from the water jars that they have filled." Ruth bowed down with her face touching the ground and said to Boaz, "Why should you be so concerned about me? Why should you be so kind to a foreigner?" Boaz answered, "I have heard about everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. I know how you left your father and mother in your own country and how you came to live among a people you had never known before. May the Lord reward you for what you have done. May you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you have come for protection." Ruth answered, "You are very kind to me, sir. You have made me feel better by speaking gently to me, even though I am not the equal of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, "Come and have a piece of bread and dip it in the sauce." So she sat with the workers, and Boaz passed some roasted grain to her. She ate until she was satisfied, and she still had some food left over. After she had left to go on picking up corn, Boaz ordered the workers, "Let her pick it up even where the bundles are lying, and don't say anything to stop her. Besides that, pull out some corn from the bundles and leave it for her to pick it up." So Ruth went on gathering corn in the field until evening. And when she had beaten it out, she found she had nearly 10 kilograms. She took the corn back into town and showed her mother-in-law how much she had gathered. She also gave her the food left over from the meal, and Naomi asked her, "Where did you gather all this? Whose field have you been working in? May God bless the man who took an interest in you." So Ruth told Naomi that she had been working in a field belonging to a man named Boaz. "May the Lord bless Boaz," Naomi exclaimed. "The Lord always keeps his promises to the living and the dead." And she went on, "That man is a close relative of ours, one of those responsible for taking care of us." Then Ruth said, "Best of all, he told me to keep picking up corn with his workers until they finish the harvest." Naomi said to Ruth, "Yes, my daughter, it will be better for you to work with the women in Boaz's field. You might be molested if you went to someone else's field." So Ruth worked with them and gathered corn until all the barley and wheat had been harvested, and she continued to live with her mother-in-law. Let's pray together. Almighty God, as we read your word together and come to consider what this means for us today, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that you would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the big theme of the book of Ruth, as I was saying last week, is how we see the evidence of God's hidden hand in the lives of these three characters. So you've got Ruth, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, and Boaz, who becomes Ruth's husband. And you see God moving in hidden ways that are not always apparent, but when you get to the end of the story, you can see, looking back, of how God has guided this family and this situation, brought people together in amazing ways. And also in this second chapter, you see God still at work behind the scenes as Ruth meets Boaz, who at the time she doesn't know is a distant relative of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And God brings them together in an amazing way. The other theme that really comes to the fore in this chapter is the whole subject of kindness. There's a theme running through this chapter about kindness. And we see that as the story unfolds, that kindness is a mark of the community that Ruth becomes a part of. And the kindness that Ruth experienced didn't just come from nowhere, but it came as a result of a community understanding the grace and love of God. I want you to think for just a moment about the last time someone did something kind for you that was completely out of the blue, completely unexpected, something that they didn't have to do. And how did you feel when that happened? Well, you felt happy. It made you feel good inside that someone had taken the time to think about you, to care about you. And when those things happen to us, we sit up and we take notice, especially when we realise somebody's gone out of their way to be kind to us. And as you read the story of Ruth, you get a feel for how much it meant to her to be shown kindness by Boaz and his fellow workers in the fields. And I think it becomes clear from the story that they show kindness to Ruth because they haven't forgotten that God has been kind towards them. And there's two ways that we see this coming out through this story of how God's kindness leads to kindness being shown to others. And firstly, Ruth reaped kindness because she sowed kindness, didn't she? Now, Boaz noticed this girl working in the field and he gave instructions to his workers to look after her, to protect her. He made sure that she was fed, made sure that she took away even more bundles of corn than she had worked for. At the end of the day, the workers continued to work and leave the bundles of corn at the side, and Ruth was told that she could gather even more for herself and her family. And Ruth is puzzled by this strange act of kindness, and she asks, "Why should you be so kind to a foreigner?" Almost as if she's not expecting anyone to be kind to her. I don't know if it's a British thing or a Western thing, but very often if a stranger is kind to us, someone we don't know is kind to us for no reason, the first thing we think is, what's the catch? We're suspicious. Why are they doing this? What's in it for them? And we always expect that some things are just too good to be true. It's a story in part of the Christianity Explored videos. It's talking about whether, in the very first week, whether we're willing to listen to something that maybe we haven't heard before. And sometimes we automatically dismiss things because we think, well, I know what they're offering. I know what it is. And as an experiment, there was a man stood in the centre of London with a placard offering people £5 note if all they had to do was come and ask him for one. Of course, most people, I think they counted something like 10,000 people went by that day and picked up a £5 note. And he had wads of fivers in his pockets, and only 11 people stopped to collect their fiver. All they had to do was take the piece of paper and then take it back to him. Because people thought they already knew what was being offered. It sounded too good to be true, such an act of generosity or kindness. And sometimes we react like that, don't we, when it's completely out of the blue and a surprise. We think, what are their motives? You know, what's going on here? Ruth, in this situation, wasn't expecting kindness, but we find out that Boaz knew about a relationship with Naomi, he says in verse 11. He says, I have heard about everything that you have done for your mother-in-law since your husband died. So Ruth's kindness had spread. People had heard about it. Boaz had heard about it somehow. Now, Ruth wasn't thinking about what she could get out of Naomi. But the kindness that she had shown to her mother-in-law resulted in kindness being shown towards her. That when we reap kindness, when we sow kindness, we reap kindness back very often. And God's grace was at work in Ruth's life as she brought her and as God brought her and Naomi closer together after her husband's death. God's grace was at work in Ruth's life as she left her homeland, she left the gods of her forefathers, and she turned to the one true and living God. And so as Ruth had benefited from God's kindness towards her, she showed kindness to others, and that kindness came back to her. There's a Swedish-American minister called Steve Sjogren. And he wrote a book a number of years ago called A Conspiracy of Kindness. A Conspiracy of Kindness. And how he spends a lot of his time, he does a lot of evangelism on the streets, speaking to people in shops, in neighbourhoods, and just doing spontaneous acts of kindness towards people. And his whole mission strategy is about showing kindness to strangers and people that he has never met before. And it might be doing the shopping for a neighbour, washing cars for free and leaving a message on the dashboard, a message of God's grace and love, giving out free cans of juice to people who are out on a hot day. And people are saying, are you sure this is free? You know, what is this all about? And I think he wraps up a gospel message around the can, gives it to people. He talks about paying for the petrol for the car that's behind him in the queue. So when he goes to pay for his petrol, he'll pay for the person behind him and say, could you please give them this wee message of God's love? And it has an amazing effect on people. It opens up people's hearts. Because very often people have a preconceived idea about what God is like. That God is not a giving God, a loving God, a merciful God, a gracious God. And very often these acts of kindness open up people's hearts to the gospel. When it sounds crazy, and some of it is crazy stuff, but it's done out of love for others, out of concern and a passion for the gospel. And yet it's softened some of the most hardened hearts to the message of God's grace in the gospel. And it gets people's attention when you show kindness when it's unexpected. It makes people ask, why are they doing this? And we have to ask, why should we do it? Now, Jesus said that God's law is summed up in two commandments. You love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as you love yourself. Those are the two most important things for us. And that kind of love can unlock a person's heart for the gospel. Where before they maybe had a heart of stone, a heart hardened towards the message of God's gospel. And I think something in Ruth's heart was unlocked that day as Boaz showed her kindness. I know later on we find out that they get married. But there was something unlocked within her heart as he showed kindness to her. And the kindness shown by Ruth resulted in many blessings much further down the line. Then lastly, Boaz and his workers showed kindness because of the kindness that God had shown towards them as well. Now, Boaz was an Israelite, and like any good Jew, he would have known the scriptures and God's command that God gave to Moses in Deuteronomy 10. It says, "The Lord makes sure that orphans and widows are treated fairly. He loves the foreigners who live with our people and gives them food and clothes. So then, show love for those foreigners because you were once foreigners in Egypt." And notice how the first verse of that is about God showing love towards foreigners and strangers and widows and orphans. And then the next verse it says, "Now you do it." And that is how God works through his people, works through us. God is at work, but he still commands us to get on and do it as well. And Boaz would have known this. He would have known the scriptures and the commandments. And yes, Boaz had an obligation. Now, this is God's law, so there was an obligation on him to do this. But he goes way and over above anything that was required of him. Now, Boaz knows that Ruth had left her own country and come to a land that she knew nothing about. And he says in verse 12, "May you have a full reward from the Lord God of Israel, to whom you have come for protection." You see, Boaz's own people, the Jewish people, had left the land of Egypt many years before. They were in slavery for 400 years, under oppression, and God had rescued them. God had rescued them from slavery and brought them into a foreign land that they had to live in, a land they never knew, and God protected them and gave them safety. So Boaz would have been continually reminded through the scriptures of God's grace and God's mercy through what he had done for his people. And God made a covenant with his people, Israel, that they would be his people and he would be their God. And this covenant love that God had for his people, in the Bible it's called God's loving kindness. God's loving kindness. Those words were in that hymn that we just sang before we read the scriptures. God's loving kindness like a flood. And Boaz and his people knew that loving kindness. So as he's reminded of God's kindness, he shows kindness towards Ruth. And for us, God has shown his loving kindness ultimately in sending his Son, the Lord Jesus, who gave his life for us, dying on the cross, so that we could experience his love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. And the grace of God and loving kindness that we experience through Jesus isn't just something to be held on to. It's something to be given away. When you have good news that good, it's something to be given away. And one of my favourite comedians at the moment is Milton Jones, who never seems to be off the BBC at the moment. He's a very kind of peculiar guy with sticky up hair, very quick sort of one-liners he comes out with. Milton Jones is also a Christian, and he wrote a little book called 10-Second Sermons recently, and there was a little quote on grace, which I thought was really terrific and very thought-provoking. He said, "Grace is fantastic when you receive it, but can be strangely annoying when you see others benefiting from it, especially when they seem to have more fun than you in the meantime. I may have got through the traffic lights in the nick of time, but what about the others who got through after me? Surely the policeman will throw the book at them. They were definitely in the wrong. But what is this? He lets them off with a warning and a hug. Hang on a minute. There's something wrong here." Now, we all like to receive God's grace and kindness, but sometimes we find it maybe difficult when we see other people receiving that same grace and mercy, maybe when we think they don't deserve it. And we can make judgments about people as well at times, that there are some perhaps more deserving of God's grace than others. Yet the reality is we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners who deserve God's judgment. We all need his mercy and his grace. We can compare ourselves to other people, but it's like comparing the height of this pulpit between the floor and the distance to the moon when we compare ourselves to God. We're not comparing like with like. And we make these judgments about ourselves and about other people, but actually, we're all in the same need of God's grace and mercy. Now, the thing about grace is that none of us deserve it. But for those of us who have experienced that grace, we need to give it away as freely as we have received it. Now, ask God to show you opportunities this week that you might be able to show that grace and loving kindness to others. Now, do something simple, do something surprising, do something you've never done before, do something that even seems crazy. God's loving kindness is extravagant. There's no boundaries to it. There's no limits to it. As he has loved us, so we love others. Give it a go and see what happens. Now, somewhere someone took a risk on you and me. And it is a risky business, showing kindness. People might reject it. People may not appreciate it. People may throw it back in our face, but it's a risk that we need to take. And if I'm being honest with myself, I find that hard. I've taken risks with people and had my fingers burnt. But God's love compels us to keep doing it again and again and again. And you don't need to do things on your own either. We are a church, we are a community. And here in the book of Ruth, we see a community of kindness who are working together to care for this girl. And we can do that together as a congregation, as a church, or as friends, one or two together, or if you're in a small group or a home group, or meeting a small group together. It's not something that you need to do on your own. I'm going to finish with these words from the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, verse 12. He says, "You are the people of God. He loved you and chose you for his own. So then you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." May the Lord give us strength to do all those things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your grace, for the gift of your loving kindness, which is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you that your Son gave himself willingly for us, and that your love is without measure. We thank you that despite all of us deserving of your judgment and wrath, in your mercy, you have shown us your grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the loving kindness that we experience in our lives. Help us to show that loving kindness to others and to give it away without any restrictions, without any measure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.